Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to our award-winning broadcast, the Political Cesspool radio program, broadcasting live this evening, Saturday, January 29th, from our flagship radio station, AM 1380 WLRM in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Also broadcasting tonight to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, where we also simulcast online, libertynewsradio.com, libertynewsradio.com. There you will also find our broadcast archives. Check them out. And I want to thank Keith Alexander for his service during tonight's first hour, shouldering the load for the first hour as I have been totally immersed with other duties. And we're going to be talking about that right now. As I mentioned, due to the dishonest attacks against the 2011 American Renaissance Conference, tonight's guest list has been altered. And joining us this hour in place of Jared Taylor will be Richard Spencer, the founder and editor of AlternativeRight.com. Just got a hold of Richard just in that last commercial break. He will be appearing in about 30 minutes' time. But first, joining us this hour to offer opinion and analysis, Sam Dixon, author, attorney, popular speaker. Sam Dixon is on the road this evening, but he has been good enough to, at a moment's notice, pull over to the side and help us make sense to the ability that we have, what's going on here. Sam, where do you start when you're talking about that which Jared and Amarin are facing this week?
Well, I think you start, as you do with everything in life, by drawing lessons. What are the lessons to be learned? When anything like this expands your understanding when it's looked at properly. And there are several lessons that spring to mind. One is that we have to recognize the extent to which we have been dispossessed in our own land. American Renaissance, to say the least, is a completely law-abiding, respectable organization. It is guaranteed the freedoms of speech that Americans are entitled to have. It numbers very prominent scientists among the people who speak there, members of the European Parliament, and so on. The fact that an organization like this cannot meet tells us a great deal. It tells us that we are flying under the black flag, that the system of this country is profoundly against us, and it's profoundly against anything that offers any chance of survival for our race and our civilization and our people. Quite frankly, the government of America, the establishment of America, hates America. The other thing it teaches us is that we need to realize that we cannot put a great deal of faith into businessmen. Businessmen in general, and we obviously need businessmen, but in general, businessmen are in business because they are there by making people like them. And that being the case, they're not the kind of people that martyrs are made of. They are not indifferent to public opinion. They are profoundly under the control of public opinion. We have to plan in the future that we cannot rely upon the hotel industry of America to protect freedom of speech of people like us who believe in the survival of our people. And we will have to resort to using government-owned facilities, which at least at this point cannot be canceled or denied people based upon the ideas they hold. If this had been any other kind of group, any of the regime support groups, as Sam Francis used to call them, the media would be in overdrive about the bigotry and about the denial of freedom of speech. Had it been any Hispanic group, any Jewish group, any black group, any feminist group, any gay group, any liberal group, National Public Radio's All Things Considered would be in hysterics. They would be being offered free hotel accommodations by scores and hundreds of hotels eager to bask in the regime's approval. the fact that we are not allowed to have a meeting when every other racial and ethnic group is, should make all Americans, all white Americans, aware of just how total our dispossession in this country has become. And we must rethink our loyalty to this government and this system, which is so profoundly against us.
As Sam Dixon has mentioned quite eloquently, this is now the third time we have been denied. I had a similar situation, at least the third time in recent years, that a conference of law-abiding political activists and scholars have not been able to meet. And I thought that's what Martin Luther King's dream was all about, to have the freedom to rent a hotel room and to eat at the lunch counter. Well, unfortunately, the only people who cannot expect these freedoms to be guaranteed to them are racially conscious white people. And in case anyone has just been totally off the reservation this week, what has transpired, and we have details of it at our website, the details that we can divulge at least, and we're both going to be, Sam and I, both be guarded tonight in what we divulge on the air. But American Renaissance, which is the premier scientific journal and magazine for these ideas that we espouse on this radio program, for instance, has for the last 6 months had a contract, a legally binding document, to meet at the Sheraton Hotel at the Charlotte Airport. And you would think that the right to assemble and the right to practice your freedom of speech would be guaranteed to all in this country, particularly if you have a legally binding document. But unfortunately, for now, the third time in a row, we have found this not to be the case. The hotel at which Ameren was scheduled to meet has capitulated, as Richard Spencer's website reads, to the self-professed defenders of freedom who have dedicated themselves to silencing open and honest discussion of racial differences and the threats to Western civilization. The Sheraton reneged on its contractual obligation to make available its conference facilities and lodging rooms for the biannual American Renaissance Conference put on by the New Century Foundation. And as Sam mentioned, not to put too fine a point on the matter, but one can imagine the media firestorm and throngs of civil rights lawyers that would appear if a hotel broke a contract with an African-American group under pressure from white conservatives. At the moment, this NPR release reads, American Renaissance is securing an alternate venue. Everyone is confident that American Renaissance will succeed in this endeavor, and that the various so-called anti-racists and so-called liberals will fail to squelch free expression. Standing up to the violent agitators and totalitarian wannabes is of the utmost importance, and that is what Jared Taylor is doing this evening. That is what Sam Dixon is doing this evening and appearing on this program. And I talked to Jared early in the day. I've had plenty of conversations with him over the last couple of days, and with his consent, we are talking about this and letting it be known. He is, of course, not going to be appearing tonight at my behest because of all that he is dealing with right now, but we are convinced that this will reach a favorable conclusion. We've got to take a break. We're going to go back to Sam Dixon for more opinion and analysis in the next segment, and then we will bring Richard Spencer on the program, so stay tuned.
There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards here with you. As we mentioned a couple of times already, Jared Taylor, who was originally scheduled to appear as our live guest this evening, has been scratched under the circumstances. Yeah, we will promptly reschedule with Jared, and in his place are two of our movement's finest intellectuals, Sam Dixon on deck right now, and Richard Spencer, who will be coming up right after this. I just want to reiterate to everyone that as of this broadcast, as of this moment, all of the American Renaissance speakers are set to arrive in Charlotte on time. And this event, Sam, is something that's going to continue. Jared will find an alternate location, And we encourage everyone listening tonight who has planned to attend the American Renaissance Conference to, by all means, keep those plans. And the location will be divulged. It just won't be the original location.
Yes, I'm sure that there will be a meeting, and people should simply continue with their plans and not change them, not give way to pressure and to threats, as has happened in Charlotte. One good thing about this is that it brings into clear focus the fact that genuine dissidents are found in our ranks and not in the ranks of the left. For a long time, the left has masqueraded that they are the opposition to the establishment. They are not the opposition to the establishment, and they have not been the opposition to the establishment for at least four or five generations. But they love to try to seduce teenagers in high school by pretending they are. I remember when I was a student at Green Hills High School in Atlanta, which is a very liberal high school set in the Emory Methodist University neighborhood, that liberal teachers were always telling us how liberals were opposed to censorship and conservatives were opposed to ideas. Liberals were thoughtful intellectuals and leftists were great idealists. And great bold thinkers and the alternative to the establishment. I did not believe them then, and subsequent events have confirmed that liberals are actually in the left, and not only liberals, but so-called radical Marxist leftists like Daniel Levitas and others. And these people are simply part and parcel of the establishment. They don't have any trouble having their meetings. No one persecutes them. If by any chance someone imposes any kind of impediment to them whatsoever, Michelle Norris and all the others All Things Considered and NPR will be covering it all and congratulating themselves on how they are martyrs and dissidents and all of that. But the last time this happened to American Renaissance, when three separate hotels caved to pressure and canceled an event in our nation's capital, I went to National Public Radio and the so-called All Things Considered program and spoke with them about the fact that this was quite a news story. A member of the European Parliament was going to be one of the guests in our nation's capital to speak to the American Renaissance Conference. And the idea that a meeting could not be had, no facility could be found, where a member of the European Parliament can make a talk in the capital of so-called free America, the so-called leader of the so-called free world, was quite a story. National Public Radio and All Things Considered decided this was not something that constituted anything under all things. It was something to be suppressed, censored, and concealed because they have a product to sell, and the truth doesn't matter to Michelle Norris and National Public Radio. I hope anyone that gives money to National Public Radio, I doubt that there are many of them, I hope they'll reconsider and not give any money to National Public Radio and give it to Political Cesspool, which does offer a vehicle for genuine dissent in this country in lieu of National Public Radio, which is simply an arm and a tentacle of the oppressive system that misrules us.
Sam, I couldn't agree with you more. And you look at this now, this is the second time in a row it's happened to Jared. And I had, as I mentioned, an unfortunate experience quite similar in nature here in 2008 in Memphis. Now, a lot of people, I don't want to use the word naive, because in an honest and fair world, you would think quite naturally that Jared Taylor would have a legal recourse. This is a hotel that is just arbitrarily nixing a signed document that they entered into with full disclosure of the facts about Jared's organization and his magazine and that which it espouses. But Sam, that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Well, it's more complicated than that. They have a right to refuse to do business with somebody because of ideological content. It's only when you get into the prohibited categories imposed by the regime to protect its support groups. You know, that you can't discriminate by race, creed, color, sexual, national origin, sexual preference, and so on and so on and so on, that it becomes easily actionable at civil or even criminal law if you deviate from the regime's rules. They could be sued over this, but I imagine their contract is well written and provides for liquidated damages in the form of a cancellation penalty, which they will probably have to pay to American Renaissance. But going beyond that, it's always been amazing to me how many people I have met in this cause who have a really childlike trust in the government of the United States and in the court system and in judges. When I was a young lawyer, I would have very radical people, far more radical than I am, or would ever dream of being, who would come to me and obviously just felt that the judges and the court system somehow was impeccably honest and fair. And this is just not the case. And when you compound the fact that, you add up all the factors against you in a lawsuit, it's just overwhelming. I have been defamed by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and what is very clearly defamation. A lot of people ask me, well, you should have sued them. You should have sued them. Well, first of all, they have a $200 million endowment. I don't have $200 million. And the cost of justice in our legal system is very high. We have to buy the king's justice, which in the Middle Ages, people didn't have to buy the king's justice. It was free to the people. But also, you're being tried in front of a hostile federal judge who would be concerned about his or her future and the chances of getting on the appellate bench from Alabama, getting promoted to the Court of Appeals. And then they would undoubtedly demand a jury trial, and the jury would probably be half black, and maybe a Mexican, and a liberal. And these people are not very, as we see in this case here with the Amarin Conference, these people are not very, a lot of them are not very concerned about the niceties of the law. They're simply interested in suppressing the other guy's point of view. And so, as a practical matter, white Americans are pretty well cordoned off from justice in this country. And they need to understand that. They need to stop putting faith in the government. Stop putting faith in the institutions of the government. Stop putting faith in the military of the government. I've been appalled to see Southerners with all this, rallying to the support of the Bush administration in its wars. The Bush administration had nothing but contempt for white Southerners. They're just going to use us as mercenaries, as soldiers, for wars that have absolutely nothing to do with anything that's of any interest to us. And it's time for people to wake up and smell the coffee and realize that we have to stand on our own two feet. We can't put this kind of childlike trust in the system, in this country.
Sam,
a lot wiser.
Sam, that is good advice indeed, and with that, we're coming up on a commercial break. I want to thank you again for coming on the program with such short notice tonight to offer your opinion and analysis, wisdom and counsel, and wish you a safe journey as you continue the road to Charlotte tonight.
Thank you. You're a gutsy guy. Take care. Good night.
Sam Dixon, everybody. Richard Spencer coming up right after this, one hit after the other. I'll be back.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show tonight. You just heard from Sam Dixon, the very prominent attorney from Atlanta, one of the finest minds that we have, and he always delivers his message with surgical-like precision. As you know, I suggested that Jared Taylor take the night off tonight and deal with more pressing affairs, and so Jared will not be appearing as he was originally scheduled to do this evening, but in his place we have two of the best, Sam Dixon, who you just heard from, and Richard Spencer, who joins me now. Richard is, of course, the editor and founder of AlternativeRight.com. He's served in an editorial capacity with Taki's Mag and the American Conservative as well. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back, James.
I wish it was under better circumstances. And when you were originally scheduled to appear this evening, it was under better circumstances. We were going to be talking about how you were going to add a little bit of flair to the American Renaissance Conference, which you're still going to be doing. Unfortunately, we have to just go through a little headache between now and then. But I guess, Richard, we can start with there very briefly. What's up?
Well, there's always a lot up. But yes, as you alluded to, I, along with William Regnery, I'm actually the executive director of an organization called the National Policy Institute, which was originally associated with a great man, Sam Francis. And for the past few years, it's been associated with Louis Andrews, who's also a great person who's done a fantastic job. And I'm picking up the baton from those two guys. And one of my first projects was to create a kind of television network for us so that we can be educated and be entertained and we can have the kind of programming that we need and that's simply not going to ever occur in the gatekeeper mainstream media. And we basically wanted to make our debut by live streaming and then offering for digital download later the 2011 American Renaissance Conference. And we were expecting that we would it would be a very cordial and festive affair, and we would do interviews we'd have people all over the world and in Europe and America who couldn't make the conference who would be watching. But I get the sense that we might be broadcasting from an undisclosed location, and we're being attacked by the anti-fascists or the One People's Projects, and maybe some elected officials will be trying to shut down the power or something like.
Yeah, so-called anti-fascist, of course, as if a scientist is a fascist. I guess they are a fascist if I guess anyone that's not a communist is a fascist by their definition. But that's a very, very crazy organization. I hate to use the word extremist because it's been so misappropriated to people like us, but right. If there ever was a certain a thing such as an extremist, I would say the One People's Project and the JDO and similar organizations are what that would be. But no, Richard, you have such a great thing. I know it's been all over the internet. NPI TV.
Yeah.
I know the Council of Conservative Citizens has been advertising it. Of course, Amarin as well, and your website, and this is something, as I've said, you have a great vision. It's something people have been waiting for, and the opportunity for people to watch the American Renaissance Conference this year live as it unfolds without any sort of delay is absolutely unprecedented. People who couldn't afford to drive to Charlotte and pay the conference registration fee, pay the airfare, all the expenses associated with that, could log on from the comfort of their own home and watch the entire conference for a very nominal fee. I think $10.
Yes.
Richard, that's an incredible idea.
Well, we can do these things. I like you, one thing that I've always liked about you, James, and all of your projects is that you're willing to criticize the mainstream conservatives. You're willing to see that they might be relatively better, but we really need something, an alternative. We really need something else that is radically different. And I think in decades past, in some ways that was impossible. We didn't have the big money. We didn't have the big names. We didn't have that media influence. But now with the internet, it really is possible. I'm certainly, I wish I had all these millionaires bankrolling us, but we don't. But we are, we're able to be very flexible and very kind of scrappy, and we're really able to put on something that is going to feel like you're watching a television network. And so, the end game with this kind of thing, we're obviously not there yet. We're going to have to build. But it will get to a point where people who are on our side when they're looking for information, entertainment. They don't have to go through the gatekeepers. They can log on to npi.com, and a lot of our, tons of our stuff will be for free. Some of it will ask for nominal fees, and they'll be able to be educated and not propagandized. And I just think this has always been my strategy, which is to create an alternative culture of our own. And I think now this is possible in a way that it wasn't even, 10 years or maybe even 5 years ago.
Well, that's right. And as I said, ladies and gentlemen, keep your plans to go to Charlotte. This conference, as it stands right now, will be held at an alternate venue. As I said, I was hesitant whether or not to share any information tonight under the circumstances, but as I mentioned before, and with Jared's consent, we had half a dozen conversations over the course of the last 2 days, lengthy conversations about how to get this problem resolved. And so with his consent, and in fact with his insistence, we are sharing some information with the world tonight on this radio program, because I know a lot of people who have planned to attend the American Renaissance Conference are undoubtedly tuned in this evening. Of course, there is a small team working behind the scenes with Jared, Richard, Spencer, Sam Dixon, and myself are among the small team, and so we can't share everything. We have to be guarded with what we divulge tonight, but what we can say and what needs to be said is that everyone who has currently planned to attend the American Renaissance Conference next Friday through Sunday in Charlotte should keep their plans, be in Charlotte, and you will, of course, as was originally the plan, be notified 24, 48 hours in advance as to where the meeting location will be. Now, Richard Spencer is traveling from port of call further than most from the great rural west of this country, and Richard, you'll be in Charlotte next week, come hell or high water, as you said.
Yes, absolutely. And, I kind of like this antagonistic stance that we have. I kind of like
you. You're actually of all the people, and like I said, it's a close-knit, tight-lipped, small group. But of all the people that are involved with this right now behind the scenes, you've been the most enthusiastic about the circumstances. You're reveling in it.
Well, I think when someone attacks you or when you get a rise out of people, it's not always the case. But oftentimes you can conclude that you're doing something right. We are offering something radically different than the mainstream conservative movement. And if we should be doing things that should, and I mean this in the best sense of the word, kind of scare people. They should see that we're offering a very different vision than that given to them by mainstream media. And so the fact that we have elected officials that are going after us, that we have these, this not-for-profit, a Jewish group I've never heard of before, doing all these kind of shenanigans, that we have the anti-fascist, going after us, I think this is good. I think this means we're doing something right. And I think there's just going to be a really strong sense of community and camaraderie there in Charlotte. And I'm very excited.
Keep your plans, ladies and gentlemen. It cannot be reiterated enough tonight. Keep your plans to be in Charlotte. Now more than ever, we need to make sure that we have maximum turnout for this event in the unlikely event that it be canceled. And right now there is no indication of that. Everything is moving forward. Alternate venues are being secured. Of course, you'll be notified. But until you're notified, plan to go. This is going to happen, and it's going to happen. And as Richard said, it could be it could give us an opportunity to celebrate victory in a way that we would not have been able to do had controversy and affliction not manifested itself. So, ladies and gentlemen, sit tight. We got to take another commercial break. We will be back with Richard Spencer, and we will talk more about the American Renaissance Conference 2011 in Charlotte, North Carolina, starting this Friday, February the 4th. Be there. Be there. We'll be back.
Guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
J. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here in studio with you tonight. We broadcast to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. Of course, tonight's broadcast originates from the same place it always does, our flagship station, AM 1380, WLRM in Memphis. Our guest for this part of the program is Richard Spencer of AlternativeRight.com. Richard, I want to shift gears here because we only have about 10 minutes left with you, but I would like for you to remind the people where they can go and register to watch the live stream, the live video feed of the AMRIN conference, which will be taking place in Charlotte next weekend.
Yes, it's quite easy. It's npitv.com. And the NPI stands for the National Policy Institute. TV stands for TV.com. So npitv.com.
NPITV.com, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't make it to Charlotte, and as we said, we would greatly encourage you to do so. This conference will go on at a different location. We're just suffering through a little headache right now. But if you can't make it to Charlotte, NPITV.com, there you will, for the first time ever, be able to watch the proceedings as they progress real time. And this is something, again, that the visionary Richard Spencer has brought to you, npitv.com. And we will put a permanent link up on our blog, denoting that website here, I don't know, today or tomorrow. Richard, you know, I want to quickly share a story with everyone. And I know this has been hashed out on this show before. I'm not going to indulge myself to go through everything, but it's, as Sam Dixon was mentioning before, people who are not in the know are in for a very rude awakening when they see who is the discriminated class in today's America. Back in 2008, I was the victim of a similar situation to which Jared is experiencing right now. I had planned a very big conference here in the Memphis area. And like Jared, anytime I venture outside of my home in a public capacity, there's going to be a lot of people there, and including a few protesters. And we had, like Jared, booked a very posh hotel, had signed an ironclad contract with them. And about a week before the conference was to be held, the local press started engaging in a brutally dishonest attack and defamation of character against us. This is a conference that was going to be featuring elected officials, scientists, authors, businessmen, professionals, very highbrow group. And nevertheless, the media put their spin on the story, and to their credit, the hotel didn't buckle in the beginning. And then a group called the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center sent out a mass email, and they took credit for doing this, encouraging their people to call the hotel and protest. Well, if you ever run into a group with a name like the Mid-South Peace and Justice Center, you know you're dealing with trouble. And what they did was they began to issue death threats to the staff and management of the hotel. They were calling the hotel manager at his home, saying they were going to murder his family if he allowed my group to have this meeting. This was, of course, reported to the police, who did nothing. It was reported to the FBI, who did less than nothing. They didn't even return the call. And the hotel manager resigned his position because of the duress he was under. Now, even with all of that, the hotel still was prepared to honor their contract. Then 2 days before the – oh, by the way, they threatened to blow up the hotel too. You probably already surmised that. But 2 days before the conference was to be held, the local city council in Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is a nice affluent area of Memphis, issued a state of emergency – because of all of the threats of violence that had been promised to meet our group. And the hotel then after receiving this proclamation that the county was under a state of emergency because of all of the peace and justice types, said that they saw that to be likened to an act of God. And since they had an act of God clause in their contract that they were going to have to terminate our rooms. Well, this is what they told the people who had registered to attend the conference. They didn't ever give me the courtesy as the event organizer to let me know that we had been canceled. I started getting calls from the people who were registered at the hotel, that the hotel had arbitrarily canceled in light of this state of emergency that the county was under. This is something that we had to endure, Richard. And thankfully, we were able, using, I must admit, unscrupulous tactics, we were able to secure alternate venue, and we did have that conference in a hotel, and we were able to claim victory. And it was actually, as you mentioned, one of my finest moments, and it was one of my finest moments because we overcame all odds and had a euphoric conference, and the opposition that we faced made the victory that much sweeter. But Richard, I only rehashed that to bring this up. As you know, the similarities and parallels between that conference here in Memphis in 2008 and that which Jared is facing tonight are very similar. He had a member of the Charlotte City Council, a black member of the Charlotte City Council, it probably goes without saying, calling all the hotels in the area trying to find out which one was hosting this group of you know, intellectual heavyweights, and lobbying them not to do business with American Renaissance, which is a scientific journal, a magazine. Jared has, of course, commented in the Charlotte newspaper that that it's unconscionable that public officials would try to interfere with private contractual affairs. We've never run into this before. Richard, what do you make of the tactics being levied there by Patrick Cannon of the Charlotte City Council?
Well, I don't find it surprising at all, and I would almost rather take a bigger picture look at all this. I think most white Americans have a kind of laid back and trusting view of their government, and that's probably a good thing in the sense that they generally take the government at their word. When you set up something like the Department of Homeland Security, they generally think, that's to keep terrorists out of the country who want to blow us all up. You know, that's probably not a bad idea. I think that's what they normally accept. I think it began to dawn on many of them in 2009 with that leaked right-wing extremist memo that essentially the Department of Homeland Security is less interested in finding terrorists. And they're actually very interested in people who have different views, who are not on board with multiculturalism or liberalism, or who are serious about the Constitution and limited government. People who might be libertarians, they're worried about pro-lifers, returning veterans. And they begin to see that something like the Department of Homeland Security isn't so much about protecting the nation from terrorists. It's really about protecting the government from the nation.
Richard,
you see this again with Jared Taylor and this whole Loeffner and Giffords situation that occurred, I guess, 2 weeks ago, when someone who's clearly deeply mentally disturbed opened fire on a congresswoman, and he seemed to have no real political objective. He had a kind of grab bag of incoherent theories. Probably suffered from schizophrenia. But immediately, the next morning, the Department of Homeland Security links him with Jared Taylor. And I have no earthly idea how this link came about, other than they both share the same first name. But, you know, basically what you have to think of is that this revealed something about these people that they think first of, he was a racist. We've got to crack down on him. And this is how they think. They really view people like us as enemies, people who have fewer rights than others, people who it's okay to kind of trample on their constitutional civil rights. And I don't think I'm being conspiratorial or paranoid when I say that, because I myself, as you know, James, I'm a fairly laid-back person. I don't like to talk about boogeymen or, you know, the government officials under my bed or anything like that. But I think we really need to understand this basic antagonism between people like us and the establishment. It's real. And the elected officials are not going to protect Jared Taylor's right to speak. Indeed, I think they're going to do increasingly more use more totalitarian methods to stop him from speaking.
Richard Spencer, everybody, I want to thank him for coming on tonight and providing us with his typical great commentary. And Richard, we do appreciate you coming on, and I'm sure everyone looks forward to seeing you in Charlotte, and we will continue this more. Don't forget to watch it if you can't be there, mpitv.com. More forthcoming during the third hour.
The political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.